All right, thank you. That's what the Lord said, shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Thank you, Sharon, for that good special. It is good to have a pastor visiting with us tonight, Hope Baptist Church in Dealsboro, Indiana. Pastor Tom Holt and his wife, stand up just a minute and let folks, we appreciate you dropping by. I believe they're on the way over to the East Coast tonight or somewhere over there, and they stopped in for church with us, and we appreciate that. Amen. All right, tonight I'm going to challenge you maybe to use your Bible a little bit. I'm going to run to some scripture with you tonight. Want you to open up to, well, several places we could go. Let's go to Jeremiah 16. Then we might move a little bit deeper in Jeremiah. And then I want to go to Romans. And I just want to deal on the subject tonight. The Jewish question. And it's amazing how things are escalating and how there's a heated warfare going on right now. Our president is under attack by many because of moving the embassy to Jerusalem like it should have been, like was promised, and like Congress had voted on many years ago to do, but no president had the guts to do it until the one we got now. And I'm glad he did, and he's caught some flack over it. Of course, he's caught flack every time he opens his eyes. But notice something. God seems to be taking care of him. Isn't that interesting? Seems to be. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit on the Jewish question. There's, questions can get you in trouble if you don't get the whole answer, the full answer behind them. I think about the fellow that recently walked into a hospital. And the lady behind the counter said, what have you got? He said, shingles. She said, sit down there. A nurse come up to see him, said, what have you got? He said, I got shingles. She took his vital signs, checked his pulse and see if he had a fever and everything. And another nurse come in and said, what have you got? He said, I've got shingles. She said, all right, step in this room. So she gave him an MRI and a few other things and said, now pull off your outer clothes and wait, and the doctor will come in. Doctor come in and looked at him and said, what have you got? He said, I got shingles. He said, where you got them? He said, out on the truck. Where do you want me to put them? Now, I don't know if that happened, but you can get on the pipeline sometime and you can't get stopped, you know, that sort of thing. I want you to go with me to Jeremiah to start with. Let's go to Jeremiah 16 and read just a few verses. In chapter 16, pick it up with me here in about verse 14. Everybody there, Jeremiah? All right, verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands where he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Now, I want you to watch the next verse. Somebody says, is hunting and fishing in the Bible? Here it is, verse 16. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. Let me just make this observation. God is saying that when he goes to retrieve Israel, he's going to send fishers after him. He's going to send hunters after him. And if you think about it a little bit, when you fish, you bring the fish to you because you bait it, right? But a hunter scares the prey from him, right? They run from him. What God is saying here, he said, I'm going to use two methods to bring them. I'm going to attract them. I'm going to draw them with the bait. And I think the church and Christianity and soul winning and missionaries fit that. Reaching Israel. And then hunters, those that scare them and run them. And of course, we have all kind that would qualify like that. We mentioned Hitler this morning and others, all kind of enemies. But God uses both to bring them back to where he wants them to be. And I want to move on with that just a little bit. Go with me now to Romans chapter 11. Familiar verses, I hope, with you. Romans chapter 11. I want to pick it up in about, I'll start here in about verse 25. Romans chapter 11. Remember now, our subject tonight is Israel, the Jews. Verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel," and the next word is so important, "until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so that all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer," that's the Lord Jesus, that's the Messiah, "and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins." Now, I read you a portion out of the Old Testament. I read you a portion out of the New Testament. Our time would not allow us to go on to all the scripture that'll fit into what I'm trying to say to you tonight. What I'm saying to you, and we've moved to a day and time, Israel has always been hated. From the time that Pharaoh tried to drown the babies in the river, right on. And you follow them through the New Testament, and there was times when they had their king, when they had David, and they had Solomon, and they were on the victory side, but they have been a persecuted people. And the reason for that is that God called them his chosen people. So the attack against God has been an attack against Israel. Now, here in America, we talk about such things as Judeo-Christian values and doctrines. See, Christianity is built on the foundation of Judaism. And that's important for us. While they are nationally a rejecter of Jesus, many of them are personally being saved, and more are being saved today and recognizing Jesus as Messiah probably than any other time in history. And yet, as a nation, they'll not be totally converted until Christ the Deliverer, as we read here in Romans 11, comes back. And they're going to recognize him. Some of what I said this morning, I might say to you tonight. Now, there's a lot of hate going on, and that hatred started, of course, with the devil, but it started with a couple of kids on the playground. So what are you talking about? Well, if you were to go back, and I'm not going to turn to it, Genesis chapter 16, you remember where Sarai, and Abraham tried to help God out, right? There was a promise they were going to have a baby. There was a promise they were going to have a seed. And Sarai decided she'd give Abraham Hagar, the maid, remember? And there was a boy born by the name of Ishmael. And when Hagar saw that she conceived and Sarai didn't, she mocked Sarai. She got proud. She wouldn't obey her anymore. And Sarai finally had to run her out. But God came to her in the desert when she was about to die with the baby out there and said, "I'll make a nation out of you, baby. Go back home and serve Sarai and your mistress. Go back and serve her." You remember the story. And God told her, "I'll make a great nation out of Ishmael, but he'll be a wild man and everybody's hand will be against him." Remember that? Well, that's where they got in trouble when Ishmael came, and you find that God's promise came through, and Isaac, the promised seed came, but there was a conflict between them. That's why I'm kind of joking about fighting on the playground. That fight's gotten a lot bigger, and it's gone on through history. And still today, we are seeing it reaching a boiling point now across planet Earth. Islam, Ishmael, and yet somebody says, well, which seed? And the Arabs, the Palestinians, the Muslims, all that claim to come back from Abraham. Well, yes, they did, but they are not the promised seed. Isaac was. And if you were to go back over here to Romans chapter 9, and again, not so much preaching tonight. I want to do a little bit of a teaching thing here. Go with me to Romans chapter 9, and let's pick it up here, if I can find the verse on it now. on the two seeds and which one that God chose. If you join with me down in about verse 6 of Romans chapter 9, says, not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. Yes, the Arabs, yes, they claim to be the seed of Abraham. Yes, they are through Ishmael. Are they all children? What's the next statement? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. All right, the promise is in verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Now, here's the truth. Israel has a claim to the land. Israel has a claim to who they are through Isaac, not through Ishmael. And that's what the conflict is still today. Of course, Satan is behind it, and there's a great warfare going on now against Israel in so many ways. Through the church, it's called replacement theology. And that error is simply this: the church does not receive all the promises given to Israel. There are two distinctions. Israel and the church are not the same. A Jew has to be saved through Jesus like anybody else today, but there are definite promises that's going to be fulfilled to Israel that are separate from the church, and promises to the church that are separate from Israel when Jesus comes back and brings in his kingdom and wraps things up today. Replacement theology is in a lot of Protestant churches. Many of them, most of them, far as that matter goes. The era against Israel today, the warfare against Israel today, is in cyberspace. Today you've got the big Facebook, you got Instagram, you got all this, and you folks that play with that stuff, you're playing with a rattlesnake. Heresy is all over that net. You better be careful about it. And if you're not careful, they'll brainwash you into getting on the wrong side of what the Bible says about things. And there's a big war in cyberspace right now against Israel. I want to say to you, the devil is having his heyday today. He doesn't believe in replacement theology. The devil doesn't. He wants you to. The devil knows what God has predicted. He knows it well. And that's why he's fighting against God's will being carried out today. And a lot of good people, good Christians, even good churches, have gotten fouled up in this thing. And when you get on the wrong side that God, you get on against Israel, I said it this morning, you're going against God. And God's got a plan. It's going to be fulfilled. There's no doubt about it. And the big denominations today pulling out investments in their retirement programs and all in companies that do business with Israel. And Satan's attack is very real today because he knows the prophetic plan, promise that God has made for Israel. We just took a trip, was up in West Virginia, and finally went on up to the Chicago area. Steve and I stopped after we got back into West Virginia. We stopped somewhere to fuel up. And I went in the store for something, and he was still out at the gas pump. And I was waiting to pay for something, I forget. But anyway, the man in front of me in line said, "This is Baptist territory. What are they doing here?" So I looked through the window and saw what he was looking at. There was a pickup truck parked right outside the plate glass window. And I could see it by like the front pew there. And I could see through the window and see through the windshield. And the man behind the wheel, and I believe it was a woman or a couple in the vehicle with him, I could see that he looked like Anton LaVey. Is that the satanic fellow out in California, supposed to have been the leader of the satanic church? I don't know if he's still alive or he's already in hell, I'm sure. But anyway, whatever. Anyway, that's where he wanted to go because he wanted to serve the devil, right? So he tried to look like the devil, tried to trim his beard like the movie Hollywood portrays Satan when they present him as a man, you know. And he had him dressed, looked up that way. I could see all that through the plate glass. But he had the goat head on his hood of the vehicle. had their symbolic goat head that represents the devil. And then he had fire coming up over the fenders painted on the vehicle. And so it was attention getting, no doubt about it. And then he had a wiccan, is that the way you say it? The witch thing? Wiccan? Wiccan, wiccan, whatever. And so it's the witches, the Salem, Massachusetts thing. A wiccan, I guess it's called. The witch thing, and he had that on the side of the truck. The only thing I can say about him is he was honest. He was depicting where they're going with his fire. But we could see that, and as I walked out, I had to walk away from it, and his motor was running. His window was up. You know, if he likes air conditioning, I guess he did. He ain't going to like it where he's going. But anyway, I thought, I hope he opens the door so I can say something to him, but I wasn't close enough, and he didn't. I wanted to say to him, how's it feel to be on the losing side? Huh? Yeah. But Satan is alive and well today, and you better watch getting entrapped online and other ways, and a lot of folks are deceived out there, and no doubt about it. But the truth is that Israel is around to stay. Look with me in Jeremiah. I had you there. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and pick it up with me in about where I want to go here. Chapter 31. Let's go down to verse 33 in chapter 31. Well, let's go to verse 31. Start way back. Verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This is a day coming, he's predicting now. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Exodus we're thinking about here. Which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. That's all future. But then watch the next few verses. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances, talking about the sun, the moon, the stars now, if those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Do you understand what he said? He said the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that will pass before they will cease being a nation. So the crowd that's against them today in cyberspace, out there trying to destroy them and run them out of the land, I got news for them. You're not going to do it. You're not going to exterminate them. The Muslims won't even show Israel on the map. It was only a few years ago that the Vatican itself would even recognize them as a nation. But I tell you what, God has recognized them as a nation. And they're not going to destroy what God's purpose and God's plan is. That's all there is to it. Now, he's got a future kingdom plan for them. That's what we read in Romans 11. We read in the book of Revelation. And somebody sometimes will challenge you on this thing. Well, that's all Old Testament. Yeah, but God is fulfilling the Old Testament in the new and in the future. Do you know that we'll just call it heaven, but it's really what's going to be on earth. But you know, the new Jerusalem's going to have 12 gates. How many of you know what the 12 gates are named after? Huh? Oh, yeah, Revelation 21, they're named after the 12 tribes of Israel. When you get to the next to the last chapter in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, you still got Israel. You still got them. God's got a purpose. He's going to fulfill that purpose. Somebody said you better memorize the gates of the name of the tribes of Israel, so if God tells you to go in the Issachar gate, you'll know which one to go to. I fooled you there, didn't I? Most of us can't name the 12 tribes very easily. but the 12 gates are going to be named after the 12 tribes. And it's just proof positive that God is still, after the New Testament, after the rapture, even after the tribulation period, which is the day of Jacob's trouble, God is still got Israel around. That nation is not going to dry up and blow away, not according to God. The kings of the earth, the nations, history, from Pharaoh to Hitler, as I've already said, tried to destroy them, but they can't. You know, when Moses came to the burning bush and asked God what his name was, do you know what the burning bush represented? It represented Israel burning but never burning up. You know what the three boys in the fire in the book of Daniel? They went in the fire, but the fire didn't destroy them. Israel has been in the fire. It will be in the fire. They are under God's judgment in rejecting the Messiah, but he's not through with them. He's going to make a new covenant. He's going to bring them back, and the day is going to come. They're going to recognize Jesus, the one they said crucify. He's our Messiah. He's our Redeemer. He's our Deliverer. They're going to recognize that one day. You read in the book of Revelation where 12,000 from 12 tribes, 12 times 12 is 144. You men couldn't count the volunteers a while ago, so I ain't going to ask you for any help here. Joking with you some, but 12,000 from 12 tribes is 144,000. And there's 144,000 preaching evangelistic Jews preaching the gospel of the kingdom in the book of Revelation. The Antichrist will be in charge on earth, be around the end of the tribulation period. He'll be persecuting. He'll be chopping off heads. The church will already be gone, already in heaven. But the Jewish evangelists are going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's going to be bad news to the Antichrist, because he's going to have his kingdom. And these preachers are going to say, no, God's fixing to come and set up his kingdom. They'll be preaching the Battle of Armageddon's coming. They'll be preaching very clearly that God himself, the real king, the real prince, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is coming back to set up his kingdom. Are you staying with me tonight? That is Bible, every bit of it. And the truth of the matter is, the Antichrist won't like that message. It'll be the gospel of the kingdom. Christ is fixing to set up his kingdom. You know, the Protestant churches, we don't do it so much in independent Baptist circles, but they almost open every service with the so-called Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer, where the Lord taught them to pray. But what does he say? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, right? It's coming. In Matthew 24, I think around verse 14, Jesus is telling them, as he's dealing with a message to Israel in the tribulation period, and he says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations. That's the 144,000 that'll be doing that preaching, as you read in the book of Revelation. Now, the theme I'm on tonight is just saying something about the Jew. Not much of an organized message, but I want to get you on this. As church members, as God's people, I want you to be clear, because the warfare and the lines are being drawn and a lot of people are being deceived. It's a terrible thing that's going on. The fake news media, the United Nations, all of that business is trying to destroy a little old nation smaller than New Jersey. And yet, for some reason, they just can't destroy it. Amen. Now, if you've been into current news, you know there's been an exchange of strikes back and forth between Iran and Israel and Syria. And Syria has Iranian soldiers, 70,000 of them on the border. Scotty, you know, when we went up to the Golan Heights, when our guide took us up there and we went in and saw what happened in this 1967 day war, they're massing there within 6 miles of Israel right tonight. And they sent the drone over Israel, and it was an armed one. The news media didn't report it, and Israel shot it down. And when they shot it down, they also went forward and made a strike in Syria. But Syria was able to shoot one plane down. They've made other strikes. But let me tell you something. Israel cannot allow the first nuclear bomb to hit them. They're not big enough. They can't take the first punch. You know, especially in the last administration, our soldiers couldn't fire until they were fired on. And it cost a lot of lives. Thank God we've changed that now. And in changing it very quickly, we took care of ISIS. Once we were able to free up our soldiers where they could fight, they cleaned house over there. But they were restrained and held back before that. And that's a ridiculous thing. Israel can't fight that way. They cannot allow to be hit first. They've got to protect themselves. But that thing is really building up. It's hitting today. And to update it, the Iran thing, and the Iranians are the greatest terrorist spreaders in the world. And yet we gave them a whole plane of cash money. Anybody remember that? Sent a whole plane. What was it, $100 billion or something? It had to be cash. And somehow we got it up. I mean, we've tried to bribe and pay off and all of that, and it's not working. And I thank God I don't care, even if he might be a little bit immoral. I'm not excusing that. I'm saying if God picked him up to be a firebrand and a sword in his hand to fight the devil with, that's okay with me. It's all right if he's doing it. I'm certainly glad we don't have you know who in there. But the update thing, the current attacks that's going on now, they've got soldiers and forces mounting up, getting ready to hit Israel. And pray about this. Pray for the president to make the right decision on this Iranian nuclear deal, because that was a sellout. It was a fake. I've probably said this to my college class recently. I said, the deal we made is this dumb. They agreed for us to have inspectors to come and look at the nuclear program only after we notified them several months in advance. Wonder why they needed the advance notice. Huh? The same reason that if you knew daddy was coming to inspect your room, teenager, you'd like to have some notice. Right? So you could hide some stuff. Amen. That's exactly what it was with Iran. Amen. But Netanyahu did rock the boat this week when he pulled the curtain back and showed what a fool we'd been to believe Iran when it come to claiming that they had gotten rid of their nuclear arsenal. No such thing. No such thing. But you know what's building? We know the Bible. We know Ezekiel 38 is building. We know that Iran, Persia in Ezekiel 38. We know that Syria. We know that Russia, we know that whole coalition of nations is getting ready to pounce. And according to the Bible, they're going to meet their destruction on the hills and the mountains of Israel. Now, I think Putin is a dictator. I think he's an ex-KGB agent. I would not trust him. But I think something's happening that's written in the Bible about him. He is being pulled into this thing against his will. He's got to back Iran. He's got to back Syria. And isn't that what Ezekiel says? Ezekiel says that Russia basically will be pulled with hooks in their jaws. When you pull in a hook on a fish, he don't want to come to you. He wants to go the other way, but he can't help it. He's got a hook in his jaw. And I'm seeing those hooks being set. I'm seeing the pull taking place. How soon, I do not know. But I know it's happening right before our eyes today. You know, I preached to you before on the doomsday clock, the atomic clock. Did any of you see the most recent thing when President Trump was calling the Chinese dictator Little Rocket Man? They moved the clock right up to a minute and a half to nuclear midnight. I'm talking about the doomsday clock that the scientists keep, not the preachers, the scientists. I don't know now, with the negotiations sounding better, and maybe we're going to get our hostages back, maybe they're moving it back a little bit, I don't know. But sooner or later, that thing's going to hit midnight. I've seen it anywhere from 11 o'clock, I've seen it at 11:30, I've seen it at a quarter till, I've seen it at 5 minutes till, and I believe this last little bit here was about the closest I've ever seen it, about a minute and a half to midnight. It may have backed up now, but it sounds like that that the Korean leader is willing to back off of the nuclear thing. I hope that works. Sure, I hope it does. But the truth is, sooner or later, the Bible's going to be fulfilled. And there will be a nuclear doomsday type exchange that'll take place. Now, it's Israel's birthday. And what is it? Not tomorrow, Monday, but next Monday, the 14th, will be the 70 years from 1948, May 14th, 1948. It'll be their birthday. Now, that's when they raise the flag, declare themselves a nation. I said this morning that President Truman recognized them in 11 hours. I was wrong. He recognized them in 11 minutes. 11 minutes. America said, yes, we'll recognize you as a nation. Many, many years later, before the Vatican, and Muslims still don't recognize them as a nation. I said that already, but the truth is, I think God's blessings on America, in spite of our sins, has been the fact that we have stood, and we've stood with our partner. We were in great trouble as Obama began to try to get Netanyahu out of office and do all the dirty tricks he pulled there. But thank God we've turned the corner now. Maybe we're going the right direction again. I pray so. But, you know, some are fearing a major attack coming now because it is. They love to do things on holy days. And so Israel's birthday now, a week from tomorrow, the seventh birthday, may be a major attack. I don't know. I just want to say this, that God is going, no matter what the enemy says, to still keep the nation of Israel through it all. You hear me refer to Isaac Newton a lot. I read anything I can on him, and he has really been he was a great scientist and given credit for that. Not given much credit for being a Bible student, but he wrote a lot more about theology and the Bible and prophecy than he ever did science. And some of the writings now have come forth, and they've discovered it. But Newton believed that the nation of Israel and Jerusalem was very important. Newton took a scientific measurement from where the Ark of the Covenant set in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. He took a measurement from there to the rock of what's called the Rock of Zion in London. He took a direct line measurement. And the measurement was 1,948 miles. Isn't that a coincidence? 1948, they raised their flag. Now we're counting the 70th birthday. Newton believed there was something supernatural about God's book, and about a nation that God had put promises on. He probably didn't quite have it all right, but a mind like his thinking that. A nautical miles, you know what the word nautical means, don't you? It comes from the word Noah. We think about nautical miles, we think about ocean miles, don't we? And who had the, who knew more about water than anybody else? Noah did. And so in scientific language today, in many areas, it goes back to Noah. And Isaac Newton believed Noah was a real man, that there was a real flood, that there was a real ark. In nautical miles, that 1,948 miles to that place. You say, well, what's London got to do with it? Do you know what nation was instrumental of God to let Israel come back into the land? It was England. It was Britain. Did you ever hear of Lord Balfour? He's the one, they call it the Balfour Declaration, giving Israel the right to come back into the land and to be a nation again. So kind of interesting, like God might have known the future ahead. You think so? Yeah, sure he did. And so today I get accused, and other preachers like me, and by the way, we independent Baptists are about the only ones hollering about this stuff. But we're called, well, somebody said not long ago, well, Pastor Carter's a Zionist. I plead guilty. No problem. Somebody said he's got homophobia. I got a bad case of that. Yeah. I saw where a student got kicked out of college, Scotty, because he said there was only two genders. Yeah. I'd have got kicked out too. The truth of the matter is what I'm saying to you right here, Zionism is the political system that God has raised up with Israel physically to have the land. You can claim you're a Democrat or a Republican or whatever you want to claim politically. They are Zionists because they believe they have a right back to the land. And while the Orthodox Jews themselves in their religion, they actually fight with the Zionists over there. But Zionism is the reason they're back in the land, and God predicted they would be back. And the greatest sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ is the fig tree budding again. And it budded in May 14, 1948. The fig tree is Israel. And it budded. And the physical program for Israel is Zionism. Nothing wrong with that. All they're saying is we have a right to the land. I preached a few weeks ago on who owns Jerusalem. They do. God gave it to them. You got to remember, the Temple Mount is where Jacob, running from Esau, spent the first night away from mama with a rock under his head, which later turned out to be the location of where the temple is. God was in that whole thing, and he still is. And the truth is, all the nations in the world will finally try to come against Israel, but God's going to intervene. And the deliverer we read about in Romans 11 is going to show up, and things are going to be different when God shows up. Physical program for Israel, they are going to have a place to rule in the kingdom. The biblical covenants I read to you out of Jeremiah 31 are going to come into place. Now, the church has its part. We are the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And we're made up of saved Jews and Gentiles. In the early church, going through the book of Acts, was Jews to start with, and there was a fight among the Jews. Finally, it's became more Gentiles, and Paul had to turn to the Gentiles. But who was Paul? He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You need to understand, rightly divide your Bible, and it'll make a lot of sense. God still made some promises, and he said the nation would exist as long as the sun and the moon and the stars. I believe he means it. I really believe he means it. I believe he set up some biblical covenants. Now, I'm saying all that because there's a great big fight in cyberspace, in the news, and in a lot of churches, Israel is becoming under attack today. And we better be wise about what the devil is doing. And let's not sucker for that stuff. Let's make sure we're rightly dividing the Word of God. You've got an attack today on what is called dispensationalism. But if you don't divide some truths, then you're disobeying the Bible, because it says that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the word dispensation's in your King James Bible. Common sense. I mean, don't the Bible say, John chapter 1 there, don't it say that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ? That's a division, my friend. You need to recognize that. I'm talking to some of you tonight, I fear, over your head. Know your Bible, because we're moving into an age of deception like never before. And even the elect of God will be fooled if we're not careful, if we're not careful. The church is his body. The church is his bride. It's made up of Jews and Gentiles. And there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not through Judaism. It's not through Islam. It's not through any works religion. It's by the grace of God and nothing else. Nothing else. Let's stay straight on that, but let's understand God has yet a plan that's going to be fulfilled after the rapture for the nation of Israel, as well as for the church. After the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, we're going to come back with the Lord. I kind of used to kind of joke about it a little bit. But you know, while the Antichrist is doing his dirt on earth in the tribulation period, we're going to be in a big wedding as the bride of Christ. And then we're going to come back on a long honeymoon called the millennial reign. We're going to have a time. It's going to be okay. Along with Israel, we're going to find our place in the kingdom. And God is going to have his way. He's going to keep his word. He's going to keep his promises. And all of hell and the devil and all the influence that he can have over the nations is not going to stop the Lord's plan. In Matthew 25, the nations are called before the King of Glory when he comes back, when he sits on his throne. And by the way, that's a promise to Israel that the seed of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, will sit on the throne of Israel. And in Matthew 25, the nations are going to be called before God, and they're going to be the sheep and goat nations, the ones that are going to be judged. And what are they going to be judged by? The yardstick is going to be how they treated the brethren. And we're not talking about Christians there. We're talking about Jews. How did the nations line up? Folks, there's more to it. Thank God for John 3:16, but there's more to it than John 3:16. More to it than the preacher just getting up and preaching about the love of God. I'm for that. I'm all for that. But something big is coming down, and we ought to be informed about it. Amen? I challenge you tonight, number one, if you're not saved, get saved. Number two, if you're saved, study the Word of God. It'll sure throw a lot of light on what's going on in this world right now. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, somebody may need to come to the altar tonight for prayer. There could be somebody here unsaved, maybe not understanding much of what I've said. I pray, Father, if your Spirit's speaking to them as we sing a verse tonight, they'd come and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. I pray, Father, that you'd help us not only to just be satisfied to be saved, but to be students of the Word of God and understand what's going on and understand what your plan is. I pray you'd bless the invitation now, and that your will would be done, and whatever you've asked somebody to do tonight, that they would surrender to you and do it. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing. If God's asked you to do something, you do it.
Oh.